we're moving into the section now where we're going to look at spiritual gifts, because I believe that to be the crucial area. Leadership is one thing, and leaders will only be interested in mobilizing every available resource that they have, and the greatest resources you ever can have is the Holy Spirit at work through men and women who are equipped to do the work of the ministry. And the great resources we have in any church are the people, not the buildings, not the programs, not the money, not the hymn books, not the musicians. The resources we have are the people. Let's turn to the four portions in Scripture where gifts are mentioned, and I'd like to suggest that these are the orders in which they were written. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, from verse 4. Now there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit. Varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of working, but it is the same God who inspires all of them in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the one Spirit, to another the workings of miracles, to another prophecy, to another the ability to distinguish between spirits, to another various kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. All these are inspired by the one and the same Spirit, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For by one Spirit we are all baptized into one body, Jews, Greeks, slaves or free, and all are made to drink of the one Spirit. Now this is the first reference to gifts, and you'll notice that it's body life. That's the reference. And I'm only going to read those couple of verses, although you know, as we all do, that 1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13 and 14 are connected. And I'm speaking of the concept that gifts are body life. Put your finger there, because we're coming back almost immediately. Turn, please, to Romans chapter 12. And this is the second of the incidents, or the second of the times, when Paul wrote. And if you think about it, Paul wrote 1 Corinthians from Ephesus on his third missionary journey. He wrote Romans from Corinth on his third missionary journey. So these two letters were written within a couple of years of each other. We're not quite sure where it was and at what point on Paul's third journey that he wrote from Ephesus to Corinth. But we certainly know that he was on his third missionary journey down in Achaia for only 3 months before he headed back up to Macedonia. So he wrote Romans on that same journey just a short time later. So Romans 12 is what we want, and we're reading from verse 3. For by the grace given to me, I bid every one among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy in proportion to our faith, is service in our serving, he who teaches in his teaching, he who exhorts in his exhortation, he who contributes in liberality, he who gives aid with zeal, he who does acts of mercy with cheerfulness. Again, you'll note that the reference to the charismata, and that's the use of the word in verse 6, having gifts that differ, the Greek word is charismata, having charismata that differ, let us use them. That's the second reference, body life. Notice it there. One body, gifts, body. Gifts, body. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the third reference, and it's the third time that Paul refers to gifts. Chapter 4, we know it well, starting from verse 7. The grace, charis, was given to each of us according to the measure of Christ's gift. And verse 11, and his gifts were that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of the ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the cunning of men, by their craftiness in deceitful wiles. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into Him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint with which it is supplied, when each part is working properly, makes bodily growth and upbuilds itself in love. Gifts, body, growth. Notice it. Gifts, body, growth. And the fourth reference is in 1 Peter. And if you turn there, please, 1 Peter chapter 4. And though the word body is not mentioned here, the thought is, Peter somehow couldn't get his tongue around some of the words that Paul got his tongue around, I think. Verse 10 of 1 Peter 4. As each has received a charisma, a gift, employ it for one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. Whoever speaks as one who utters the very words of God. Whoever renders service as one who renders it by the strength or the power which God supplies, in order that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. To Him belong glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now again, you'll notice the gifts there employ it for one another. Now I'm saying to you, quite without any question at all, and I'm saying it as strongly as I possibly can, that gifts are not personal. Gifts are body related. Gifts are for the use of the whole church. I do not believe that there are such things as personal gifts. I believe the gifts are given for body, and those four references I've shown you, I hope, that they are in relation to body life. Now, the gifts are listed. And can I ask you to quickly turn back to 1 Corinthians again and to look at that particular portion from chapter 12, and I've done a bit of a swift move here. I've tried to write it from a translation on the overhead projector, and I've tried to put a little bit of Greek in it, not being a particularly efficient Greek scholar. I used to be all right at Greek when I was at Emmaus, but having left, like most of the students, I've let it slide and done one or two other things with it. But never mind, there's two words that I can remember, and they are the words for another. And you'll notice that the first word for another is allo, and the second word is heteros. Now, allo means another of the same kind, and most of us know that heteros means another of a different kind. And the word heteros has come into English language today, and we use it in such conversations when you're talking about somebody that he's a heterosexual. I don't know if that's very modern talking, but that's the way it is. Now, that word has come in. Now, the Lord Jesus, when He spoke about the Holy Spirit coming as another comforter, used this word, allo. He is another comforter of the same kind. And I can look out there and I can see a chair and a allo chair, but I can see a chair and a hetero chair. And they're the punishment chairs up the back up there. Now, when you look at that portion, it's really interesting, and Mr. J.M. Davies, a great Bible teacher, a missionary from India, he made an interesting observation in this segment in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, that the gifts have been given according to people of different kinds. And just notice how I've written it. I don't know whether you can all read it from way back there. But what it starts off, and here's verse 8, and you can either follow in your own Bible if you can't read that, but what it says is, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to allo another person of the same kind is given the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. But verse 9, it's interesting, Paul says, to hetero, to a different kind of person, faith by the same kind of Spirit, but to another of that different kind of person. I mean, this is how I interpret it. To another person of this kind of Spirit, this kind of quality, is the gift of healing by the same Spirit. To another person of that same kind, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. to another, discerning of, to hetero, yet another quality of a kind of person, divers kinds of tongues, to a person of that quality, the interpretation of the tongues. Now, whether that's reading too much into it, but I don't think it is. I think it's important. To me, it's comforting to know that God matches the gifts. God takes into account that we are different. God takes into account that I'm not you and you're not me. And that He gives me the gifts that suits me, and you are a different kind of person, and He gives you the gifts through the Holy Spirit that suit you for the building up of the body. Now that's quite interesting, and I don't know whether you find it so, but I find it particularly comforting to realize that I don't have to be you, and you don't have to be me. You be you, using the gift, and available to God, and at His feet. But let me say one thing. I said that the fruit, the gifts of the Spirit are not personal. They are body. The fruit of the Spirit is very personal. And that's the whole reason for 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Because we know in 1 Corinthians 12 that everybody had the gifts. All sorts of them. But they were tremendously carnal people. And Paul says to them, what's the point of having the gift? In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, I think it's in verse 6 or 7, he says, you come behind in no spiritual gift, you've got the lot. But you're carnal. And your church comes behind in no spiritual gift, but if they're carnal, then what's the point of being able to move mountains and have not love? You see, love is a fruit. Love is a sign of spirituality. It's not a sign of giftedness. Giftedness is one thing, but you can be the most gifted person in the world and be the most horribly carnal person in the world. And that's the tragedy in the churches. We're getting carnal teachers on the platform. We're getting carnal evangelists. We're getting carnal leaders. Men who are not walking in the Spirit. Men who are not doing what they have to do with the gifts that they've got. And there's the tragedy. We've got the gifts, but we've got carnality too. And there's your problem. Because what does carnality do? What are the works of the flesh? Strife, dissension, envy. Yeah, well, you know. Why should I tell you about it? And is that what you see? It's because of carnality and no other reason. So let's get spirituality and giftedness in their right order and their right perspective. Here's a second thing, and you do have this particular sheet, and this is my own little idea of putting it all up together, again in the order of writing. And remember what I told you a moment ago, that I preached through this for 6 weeks in our assembly before we went into a program of seeking to discover what gifts were available to us as elders. Now, as leaders of God's people, surely it's our responsibility to know what the gifts are that we have available to us and to mobilize them. And surely as a believer, if what we've read is true in all of those portions, and I'm without question say it is true, that each one here has at least one gift. Each one of us, the scripture says again and again, each one of us. And I'm going to ask you, put your hand up, if you know without question what your gift is. Well, that's great. Put your hand up if you're elders of the church and you know basically what the gift is of the bulk of your congregation. Well, that's great for those of you who do. Thank you. But I tell you what, for everyone else, you've got problems because you don't know what resources you have available to you. And God's work, we read it in Ephesians. God's work says that when each one is working properly, you're going to get body growth. And the work of the ministry depends on not only identifying the gifts, the work of the ministry depends on mobilizing the gifts and then utilizing the gifts. And who's going to do it? The leadership has to. So if you are leaders, you need to understand without question. Now what happens here, and I've written it down in that same order that I read it to you. You'll notice that you've got foundation, and these are my words. You won't find these too many places. I think foundation we can find as far as the scripture goes. We can find the word sign as far as scripture goes. But I've used the word functional there, because if I come to your church, I don't expect to find that you've got too many foundational gifts. I'll probably be surprised if I find that you've got some sign gifts. but I expect to find every one of those in your church, because I believe that these are the gifts that are given for the everyday functioning of every church. I believe that God gives these gifts for the use of the whole ministry, and that I would certainly expect to find every one of those in your church. Now you say, but we're only 10 people. Maybe not all yet, but you'll get them. You will get them. In our church, we have to find them. We've got so many people. We'll find them duplicated 10 times over in some cases, depending on the work of the ministry, how much is required. God gives, and He gives sovereignly as He wills, and He gives for the building up of the body. Now, these are tremendously important things. Now, I don't want to go into the theology of all these things, but there's a couple of points of note. One is that these sign gifts are mentioned once only. And from that, I get a very clear indication that they are not part of the whole scene of body life. And I'm not going to say that the sovereign God is not going to do these things. Some people have strong views on that. I personally can't say that the sovereign God will not do what He did in these things, if He needs to do it, because He's the sovereign God. But I'm going to say, without the slightest question, I see absolutely no reason for that in our assembly. I see every reason for every one of them in our assembly. And if the sovereign God wants to begin to do a tremendous thing, it will be for the reason that He did it then. And let me say, and there's quite a spiel on this in the notes there, that God, you needn't bother turning, but just listen to me for a moment. In the history of the Bible, it's been well thought out, and many have presented it, and let me simply reiterate what I learned from some fine teachers years ago, that miracles are not an everyday event. If they are an everyday event, they are not miracles. Miracles God has used only to draw attention to what He wished to say at a certain point in time. And if you start in the book of Genesis, you've got to come all the way through to where before you come across your first spate of miracles? You've got to come to Exodus. And you find it's Moses who suddenly produces a whole speed of, why does he do it? To identify Moses as the God-sent deliverer of his people. And those miracles and God's workings of power continue until you come to Canaan. You've entered in the land and Jericho's fallen, and that's it. And you've got to work for your tucker now. God no longer sends any manna. And that stops until when? Now, individual dealings of God with individual people at different times in their lives, sure. And we read of the miracle working God, and my God is a miracle working God. And He works miracles for me in providing for my needs. He's worked miracles for me in doing many things for me. And that's the God I've got. And you've got. But when we're talking about a public demonstration of miracle power, it's always for the reason of something special that God's trying to convey. So having left Moses and Joshua, we then pass through a long period of Israelite history until we come to Elijah and Elisha. Now, David we've passed by, Saul we've passed by, Samson we've passed by, all we had a bit of an event happening through Judges and so on like that, but not in the dramatic public form until you come to Elijah, Elisha. And suddenly Elijah, Elisha burst on the scene among an apostate people and present the fact of a living and a true God, Jehovah, before whom I stand, and you people are all off after Baal. And suddenly there's an awareness, the Lord, He is God. Jehovah, He is God. Jehovah, He is God. And then when Elisha passes from the scene, who's on the scene then? When do we read of our next series of miracles? Sorry? Well, Daniel certainly had the power of God in his own life, and there were some certain public incidents that drew attention to a heathen king. It wasn't so much among God's people, but yes, I'll agree with that. After that, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Daniel we said, Ezekiel. Well, each of them had their own experiences of God in very wonderful ways, very direct revelations from God. But no, you've got to come to the person of the Lord Jesus. And without question, the Lord Jesus, His miracles were for a specific reason of identifying. Acts chapter 2, 22, 23 tells you that. And so we've looked over the whole of the span of the Old Testament period, and you've seen that God has done miracles at specific times for specific reasons to catch the attention of either an unbelieving people or an apostate people or a people who needed to recognize their Messiah. And in each case, it was that purpose that God utilized them for. Or in Daniel's case, because of a heathen king who was doing what he was doing. Now, in the early church, we know without question, look at Hebrews chapter 2 if you wanted to, verses 3 and 4. We quote verse 3 very easily, but verse 4 says this. Verse 3 says, how shall we escape if we neglect such a great salvation? But what does the rest of the verse say? The salvation that was declared to us at first by the Lord, then by those that heard him, God bearing witness through signs and wonders and miracles. So the whole reason for this was an affirmation of the gospel of salvation in those days. Now, God can do it again. But for you to expect these things to happen in your church because somebody's got a sore tooth or a headache or something like that is not on. And these are my queries about what we see in much of modern ideas. It's not on. Because it doesn't fit the pattern of what God does. And the early church experienced that spate of miracle working power because it was a sign, and we specifically know that tongues were a sign and healings were a sign, and these things were given for the affirmation of the gospel. Now, if we follow the pattern, then we're going to see that a period may elapse. But again, I'm going to reserve my judgment and say, God is sovereign. And if he needs to, he will do it. He will do it. But don't expect this to be the demonstration of the great power of God in your assembly. The demonstration of the great power of God in your assembly will be the use of the functional gifts which will build up the body of Christ. Bodily growth will happen. Now, what can you expect to see in your church? You can expect to see particularly those who first of all go out and by their influence win souls. You can expect to see those who've got the pastoring care of those souls. You expect to see those who are able to care for God's people in a very dynamic way and then to teach them in the Word of God. And when each of these gifts is in operation, then each one of them will be building one another up. Now, what a sad thing it is when we see gifts either being neglected or gifts either being rejected or gifts being pushed into areas that they have no aptitude for at all. And among the assemblies, one of the things that marked us out beyond anybody else was this whole business of developing of gifts and the utilizing of gifts and of ensuring that those who were gifted in the right areas were used by God in the right areas. But we get somehow today to, if you sit on that particular chair back there, you're liable to be grabbed to be an emergency Sunday school teacher because nobody's turned up to take the class of the 14 and 15 year old boys, and so the Sunday school superintendent comes in the middle of family service and grabs the person sitting on that chair and says, "You're in." And that's the sort of thinking that we have a lot. Now, it's not on, my brothers and sisters. If we are responsible leaders, we take what God has given in his sovereignty and what he's given to us are the gifts of the Spirit for the building up of the body of Christ. And I'm going to suggest to you that as we look down that list, that it becomes very easy to see what's happening. You see, each of the lists is slightly different until Peter, in his kind of plain talking, says, hang on, in your church you're going to have two kinds of gifts. You're going to have the speaking gifts and you're going to have the serving gifts. And that's the summary of it. You are going to have speaking gifts and serving gifts. Now, in our assembly, we picked up the form that the Shepherd Seminar people gave. And I don't know how many of you people were at the Shepherd Seminar. Could I see? How many of you actually went through the exercise of that form of determining what your particular spiritual gift was? How many of you got the form at home and never used it? Right, can I suggest to you that in our assembly, having taught that for 6 weeks, what you have there, those notes there, and having done it in a very practical way, What we then did was run off these out at the local printer. I remember it cost us about $100 to run them all off. We went down to the local printer, got them run off at the local printer. And what then happened was that we had a fellowship lunch, and after teaching the matter, we then went and said to everybody, now, in the next half an hour, read through this questionnaire survey kind of thing, and please do it. So everybody did it. They then handed it back into me, and I took them home and I evaluated them. On the back of your notes, I think you've got an evaluation form, the results form. Do you see it there? Now imagine that you're sitting at your elders' meeting. Not that one, sorry, this one. Have you got that form on the back of your notes? Right? Now imagine you're sitting in at your elders' meeting and you realize that you've got a need for pastoral care and visitation. Who do you say? Eeny, meeny, miny, moe? Or do you take the results of your spiritual gift discovery, things which the elders have now collated, and put them together, and you look down the list, and you've got someone who needs to be cared for, so you look across the top of your list and you notice that such and such a person got the gift of mercy and encouragement, so they're the people you send. You see, it seems to me an elementary thing that in Christian leadership that you are wanting to know who God has given to you and what use you can make of the resources you have. It's an incredible thing. We know we've got more sense in a secular way to bring in a motor mechanic to do our electricals. We've got more sense than to bring a carpenter to do our electronics or a butcher to do our plumbing. I mean, we know better than that. But in spiritual sense, it is a question of he's on the hot seat, you do it, brother. We put a fellow up here to take the song leading who has no abilities or even inclination in music. Your turn. And we give him a job. Now this is stupidity, surely, my brothers. It's foolishness. When the Holy Spirit, under God's sovereign control, has given us the gifts that we need. Now, if you are to be responsible leaders, I'm not asking you to do that for yourself. If you haven't done it, do it. I'm asking you to take it back to your assembly and after carefully, prayerfully teaching through the whole aspect of spiritual gifts and their relevance to the body life, to take it through and give it to all of your people to do. Come back. Now what happened in our assembly was this. It came back. Some people have a very poor self-image. And they never scored themselves more than whatever, you know? And they had very low. So I sat down and I personally wrote a special word of encouragement to each and every one of them. For example, somebody wrote down, they may have scored, I've got a gift of faith, but it's little. You know, it's self-explanatory, by the way, for those who haven't seen it, of how to score these things. For the first column, you give routinely you give yourself a 5. Let's do it. For example, okay, page 1. Let's do it. I feel a special fondness for children and am drawn to them when they are present. Hands up if you would score yourself 5. Yeah, right. That's great. I'm one too. I love kids. I love them till they're 13. Right. Verse 2. I'm interested in helping new or untaught believers. Would you score yourself a 5 there? Yeah, look at that. That's praise God. I mean, that's fantastic. I enjoy ministering to older people. Yeah, great. Look at this. Marvelous. Now, you score yourself a 5 if you routinely feel like that. Or if you often feel like that, but sometimes they get on your nerves, then you put yourself a 3 for the often. You put yourself a 2 if you have a little. You put yourself rarely a 1 and never, well, you know what, a 0. Right, and so that's how you would score the thing. And though they are relatively easy, ordinary questions, and for some people I can already see that you're going to object and say, hey, this is worldly wisdom coming into... Maybe it is, but is all wisdom that God has given to worldly men necessarily wrong? I don't believe so. I believe that a lot of wisdom that has come into business world and things like that, and methods in business world, if we can sanctify it, if we can make it useful for God, we ought to use it. And Emmaus has learned that. They use computers. Look at the first 4. Who would identify with this one, the 4th one? I feel that the troubles and difficulties of others are often an opportunity for me to verbally encourage and assist them. Yeah, great. Now that's a beautiful gift. Now, read on down, you'll see that question 1 is the same, question 6 is to do with children, question 11 is children, question 16 is children, and all these. Now, when you score it over the back, turn to the back of your sheet, you'll notice that you've got a kind of a couple of rows there. See them there? Right? See that? That one there? Well, for children, question 1, what did you write? Now, the fivers would put 5. Others of you would put, sometimes they do, but other times they get them a go. Well, you'd put 3 there. Right? 5 or 3 or 2 or 1 or 0. How many of you can't stand kids? How many of you put 0? Yeah, right, Cedric, you're honest. Good on you. Right, I mean, if you can't, be honest about it. Just say, no, I don't work with kids. It's not my scene. You pray for them, huh? Right. And so you score down that, then you add a cross until you get a total, and you look there to see the top 2 in each of those areas. Now, elders, you dish this out, you teach the thing, and you have a great time, and everybody says, oh, isn't that cookie? I'm a this or I'm a that. Now, hang on, they may be a this or a that, but you've got to use them. You've not only to identify them. What were the 3 words I used? Identify, mobilize, then utilize them. And it seems to me plain common sense that any leadership wants to know what resources are available to them. Now, you do know how much money you've got. You do know how many hymn books are in the book. You do know how many chairs there are in the place. But do you know what you've got in terms of spiritual resources in the people that God's given you? And that, to me, obviously, is the first thing to do. Worry about the hymn books. They're tuppence a dozen almost, they used to be. So what you need is this. So as I said, having got all these back, people with low self-images and so on score themselves lowly, people with high, extroverted type of people, they're great at everything, they score themselves way up to the top. You balance it out in your mind, but what you do then, on the back page, I sent it back with them, having noted down the score for me here, and that, of course, goes to all the elders. Every one of the elders gets a copy of the results so that they know who the resources they are. And I write a letter of encouragement, for example, to one young couple, and it ended up a husband and wife, and both of them are perfect missionary material. They are both missionary material. So I had the great joy of writing to them. It's tremendous to see what gifts God has given to you. Both of you, you're now married, and God has put within you the capacity, but there's this area you've got to do. You've got to prepare yourself in Bible college. Have you thought about it? Or in the Word of God, have you thought about Bible college? So it gave me a tremendous opportunity to write a personal letter to each and every one who did it. Now, I'm not saying that we've got it all. We haven't got it all together. Oh, but we want to make use of what God's given. And don't you? And so can I say, please, you do it yourself. But don't do it in such a way that you can't copy this. Now, we asked the brothers from the Shepherd Seminar whether it was available to be copied, and they said, yeah, everything we've given you, you use it, please. Acknowledge it, but use it. And so, please, can I suggest to you, make use of the gifts that God has given to you. Now, any questions? I'm not giving you a chance to say anything to me before this. I've been too busy talking. I'll repeat the question if you like. Any questions, any queries about this or that leadership thing before? Yes, brother? Well, that becomes a nice pastoral concern for me on my visitation program, and I just go around and say hi. Oh, the question was, sorry, thanks a lot. The question was, what say you don't get an answer back from the survey form? And my answer is simply that is an indication to me that somebody's either misunderstood or not realize what a tremendous need we have for their involvement in the church, and it gives me a pastoral reason to visit, and that's what happens. Yes. Yes, Jeff? Yeah, right. No, what happened is I took 6 weeks of teaching on it. Oh, sorry, the question was this question given out to the core group? No. What I did was 6 weeks of teaching on the subject, and this, of course, at the request of the elders. I don't teach anything that's not organized for me to teach or suggested in our prayerful consideration of that. I took 6 weeks of teaching on the subject, Then we had a fellowship lunch. Thanks, you. We did a fellowship lunch and invited all who were very keen to get involved in, or to know what their gift was, to get involved in the work of the ministry to do it. Now, obviously, some didn't stay. We took note of those. We've been to see them. They still, some haven't done it. But now when anybody comes into the assembly after 6 months, this is fronted up, after 6 months of being converted, or 3 weeks if they're transferees, they get this. So that we ensure that we know what gifts God has given to the whole church. Yeah.
Just back on the gift issue that you were talking about before, I've spoken with some people, like John White when he came to Australia, and he's indicated that worldwide there seems to be a renewal, and at the same time, wherever the Holy Spirit seems to be working, sign gifts are being manifested and people are being saved. Is it possible that this is an age when signs are being used again?
As I said, God is sovereign, and if he wishes to use them, he will use them. But I don't expect to see them within my local church, because it's a functioning body. I expect to see, if such things happen, to be in some place where God needs to dramatically draw attention to the gospel. I do expect to see every one of the functional gifts at work in our assembly, though. And I'm not going to put a no to that. No. God's God. Who are we to put him in a box? However, I say that I am not convinced that what I hear today of the tongues movement is necessarily what I read of in Scripture, and the tongues as ecstatic utterances don't convince me one little bit. I believe that they were and ought to be intelligible languages, and I know from what I understand in Scripture that it happens.